You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
This morning, I want to talk to you about a word we're going to focus on just for a bit. The word is extravagant. Now, we don't use that word a lot, but we do hear it. Sometimes we say it. Extravagant. Maybe like, that's a little too extravagant for me, or do you think that's a bit extravagant? Now, if we think about it, when we use the word, often has more of a negative than a positive connotation. And in some ways, it's true in our parable today. In some ways, it's not. Now, if you're visiting with us today, or you haven't been here in a few weeks, we have been working through kingdom parables for Matthew. Parables about God's kingdom. Our focus has been on parables speaking to us about the kingdom of God. Not necessarily us in these parables, not about some moral lesson, no parables about God's kingdom. Parables about the king in God's kingdom, King Jesus. Now, seeds and planting seeds have been part of our first three parables. God's word being planted in hearts and in minds, producing faith in all kinds of places the first week, the parable of the sower. Week two, producing fruit in the midst of weeds, the parable of the weeds and the wheat. And then last week, Pastor Gerber walked us through the third kingdom parable so far, producing kingdom growth through even the smallest of words or deeds. The parable of the mustard seed and leaven. Good job. Today, no seeds, no planting, but plenty of God's kingdom. Plenty of God's grace, plenty of God's mercy. We begin with something extravagant in this parable. Extravagant debt owed by the first servant. Now, most, if not all of us, have heard this parable before, probably many times. We usually refer to this parable as the parable of the unforgiving servant. But before he was the unforgiving servant, he was the servant who was in extravagant debt. But before he was the, excuse me, let me show you. As my math skills are a little fuzzy, unlike my brother, who is the most amazing math teacher, or even like Pastor Gerber, who, if you didn't know it, has a math degree, I needed to get some help this week. You guys remember story problems? Didn't you love story problems? Not. Well, we have a story problem. So after Pastor Gerber walked me through this story problem, I was blown away. Do you remember the dreaded story problems in school that you can never figure out? Well, here we go. The servant owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is 20 years' wages. Let's say a person today makes $50,000. So one talent equals $1 million. That's 20 times 50,000. In case you're following along, you see where we're going? Stay with me. It's only going to get more extravagant. So if one talent is $1 million and the servant owed his master 10,000 talents, that comes to $20 billion. I'm not kidding. Take a look at yourself. Wow, right? Like, wow. Of all the times I've heard or read this parable, I had no idea just how extravagant the first servant's debt was to his master. Brothers and sisters, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. You see, there is simply no sin that is so great that God won't forgive. This is the love that he has for you. This is the mercy he has for you. This is the grace he has for you, willing to forgive you extravagantly. But this is only part of the story, isn't it? Only part of the parable. You see, there was another debt that needed to be paid, and this debt was more doable, not extravagant. A debt of only 100 denarii. Time for more math. A denarius is one day's wage. Let's say the second servant worked 250 days in a year. Reasonable. If he makes $50,000 a year, also reasonable, and we divide that by 250 working days, we get a denarius equaling $200. $200 times 250 days equals $20,000, a much more manageable debt. Now, it's a shocking contrast, isn't it? Take a look. Shocking. And it's also a shocking contrast reaction-wise between the master and the first servant. The master totally and unconditionally forgives the $20 billion debt. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have mercy with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. Are you kidding me? $20 billion? Yes, indeed. He lathers extravagant mercy on him and his family. And the servant's response? How about not forgiving another servant for only $20,000? No patience, no mercy, no grace, no forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm happy that this is only a parable. Like, it wouldn't be a lot of fun to be expected to forgive so extravagantly, would it? Would it? Are you thinking about it? Are you thinking of maybe people in your life that have wronged you in ways that are, well, seemingly unforgivable? But that's not how our God works. It's not how our God thinks. It is not our God's nature. Our God's mercies never end. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of that this morning in the book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His extravagant love, his extravagant mercies never cease. This is the kingdom of God. Extravagant love, extravagant mercies. Love for you, love for me, mercies for you, mercies for me. Love and mercies poured out with blood. Blood from the cross. Dripping, poured out blood. Poured out for you. Extravagant love, extravagant mercies. And your response? This is the question of the day, isn't it? And your response? You see, this is serious business, brothers and sisters. You see, the unforgiving, merciless first servant had a response, didn't he? And the consequences from the master? Verse 34. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. A debt impossible to pay. Like your debt, like my debt. Impossible to pay. Before we get too high and mighty, shaming this first servant, well, we must come to grips with something, don't we? You see, it's because of our sin that Christ hung on that cross. God's very own Son died because of you and because of me. And that is serious debt. You know, somewhere along the line, I was thinking this week about the word debt. We change the words to the Lord's Prayer. At least the boomers, right? We used to say, not forgive us our trespasses, but forgive us our debts. And we still sing it sometimes at weddings or funerals. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How's that going for you? Forgiving your debtors. Because it's not easy. But it's what we're called to do. God desires for us to live it. Forgiving our debtors. Have you been thinking of someone this morning that maybe you have never forgiven? You simply can't forgive? What to do? The Apostle Paul makes it clear to the church in Ephesus what to do. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? As God in Christ forgave you. As God in Christ forgave you, and now Christ is in you. Through his word, through baptism, through his supper, God is in you. These are not merely symbols. God's word and sacraments are powerful, extravagant means of his grace. Grace we witnessed just a little while ago with our very eyes and ears when little Emery and earlier this morning at 8 o'clock, little Dea Ann, extravagant grace given also to you at your baptisms. You see, God doesn't give up on us. He promises to never leave or forsake us. Jesus takes the initiative to forgive. He needs to forgive. For the wages of sin is death. We are the sinners. He is the Savior. Saving us from death. But that's not the end of that verse in Romans, is it? No, indeed. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A free, extravagant gift. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.